Okay, so like I said, before I turn to the Rushalmi, I'm debating how much I want to get in depth about what we're going to look at now, so we're definitely not going to do it now, but maybe we'll come back to it. I haven't decided. Partially is up to you guys. But that, this is the following. So who managed to read through the first six Mishnah and the second Perek? Okay, good. Very good. So what do we get in the second Perek? Big Adol, right? What do we have there? Right. So what we discover is that this idea of Tosefet Shviit does not apply to everything, right? These prohibitions don't apply to everything, and not just the exception of the Eser Netiot, right, of the 10, right, an orchard of 10 young trees of saplings, right? Right, but you get, now, I know some people got a little bit confused on this, but at least in the Arkscroll Yerushalmi, what you'll get is that the halachot in the Yerushalmi are not divided the same way the Mishnayot are in the standard Mishnah on the shelf. So at least in this version, the Ozu Hadar and the Arkscroll, which is just the Hebrew side of the Ozu Hadar, right, when it doesn't match up, they'll do in brackets mem whatever, right? So mem aleph, Mishnah aleph, mem bet, Mishnah bet, right? So like, it's not the first six halachot in the second barak, it's the first six Mishnayot. Right, but if you wanted to follow it along in the Yerushalmi, right, so that's a good look at it. Right, but we get at Ematei Chorshin De Lavan Erev Shvi'i. So until what point can you plow in a field of grain before Shemitah Mishit Tichle Halecha, which we saw this already, the Gemara quoted it, until the moisture is gone. Kol Zman Shebnei Adam Chorshin Litam Ashkodim Mitlaot. As long as people are normally planting chishuim or like zucchinis, midload or gourds of various sorts or whatever, something in that family, right? Gourds also, which gourd does it mean, right? Meaning in America, in modern Hebrew, the lot is a pumpkin, right? It's not a pumpkin. It's some other gourd, some related, right? But something like that, related. Right? Even, you know, in the Yerushalmi, it starts dealing with which type of dalat, right? There's different types. There's those from Yavan, right? Those from Greece, and those from Egypt, and they were different sizes, and they had different statuses, and whatever. But okay, for now, that's not the point. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Natata Targol Achad Achad V'Ado, V'Seh Levan Ad Perl, V'Deman Ad Tar. Well, we've seen this, you can't say that, rather, right? We have cut off this. Pesach, Shavuot, etc. But then, in Mishnah Bet, you start getting the exceptions in terms of milachot. So Mizablin. What's Mizablin? From Zevel, what's Zevel? Zevel means garbage, really, right? Modern Hebrew, but it means manure, right? It means fertilizer. So you can fertilize using manure, right? Me'adrin, right, which is a very complicated one, maybe we'll come back to, which seems very much like Harisha with plowing, but it's really not. It's with a smaller plow, right? But it looks very similar to plowing, and all of you trying to figure out why is this not plowing, right? But okay. But Maskotim Midlaot, right, with these squash and gourd fields, V'chein V'beit Hashlachim, right, or with irrigated fields, Miyablin, you can remove on a human being or an animal, a yabelet would be a wart. I don't know if you call it a wart on a tree, but you can remove the growths from trees, umifarkim, and you can remove excess, what? No, like a growth, like a diseased growth, right? Yeah, I mean, it could be, right, some sort of like wormy, right, like, you know, decrepit, whatever. It's preventing its healthy growth. Mifarkim is to remove excess leaves, right, like they did on this tree, right, right before Rosh Hashanah, right, so that it wouldn't be Shemitah. They just, right, cut off extra trees, branches, whatever. Me'abkin, which is to add dirt to the roots that get uncovered, right, during the winter months, so some of the dirt gets, right, washed away, so you can cover it on. Ma'ashnin, which is smoke, to use smoke to kill bugs, right, that was what they did, fine. Ad Rosh Hashanah, all the way until Rosh Hashanah, And it goes through others, right? You don't have to go through all of them, right? You read it, Nisalkin, right? Removing rocks, Mikar Samin, right? Which is cutting down dry branches, Mifaslin, take off the garbage, and then you get Rabbi Shua's position, right? And then, again, this goes on for quite a while in the Mishnayot, right? That's, I just wanted to sort of get a feel for it, right? But you also have, right, Mizahamin and Adad Nitiot, which is another type of fertilization, v'korchen otan, right, is you wrap something around them to protect them from the sun, v'kokmin otan, cover them with dirt, right, again, a different type, sachen et apagin, I'm skipping around here, right. Some of them are protecting, yeah. So this is right. This is the point. And then there's the final Mishnah that I gave you. Mishnah Bava was Einotin Vein Mavrichin Vein Markivin Ershvit Pachom Mishloshim Yom Nei Rosh Hashanah. That one of the differences, as we've talked about, is that 30 days is a different status where you can't plant and you can't graft before Shemitah, 30 days. Vim Natal Vrecho Yerkiv Yakor. And if you do, you have to uproot it. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Okol HaKavashayin HaKolet L'Shosh Yomim Shuvin HaKoletet Rabbi Yosef Rishon Omer L'Shay Shabbatot. Okay, now, which at least the Rambam understands doesn't mean 2 weeks, 3 days, and 30 days. It means 30 days plus 30 days plus 2 weeks, right? So it's 44 days or 33 days, etc. Okay, that's how long you need to prepare. Now, why did I give you all this Mishnayot? Now, as you see, it's a long discussion in Yerushalmi, and if you want, we can, when we're finished with the sugya, we can come back to it and try to do some of the details. The one we will definitely get back to is Nitziah, because Nitziah is the weirdest of all of them. Right, where you are allowed to, you're not allowed to plow, but you are allowed to plant, right, which is a very complicated one. We will definitely come back to that one. Whether we do all the others in depth is really up to you. I don't know if you want to. You'll decide. We have time till we get there. But why did I give you all of these? Right, I gave you all of it because I want to deal with a fundamental question, which is, okay, what's very clear is that at least some of these melachot are forbidden during Shemitah, right? Right? Many of these melachot, in fact, are forbidden during Shemitah. And yet, they are not forbidden during Tosefet Shvi'i. Right? There's this list of all the different things you can do during Tosefet Shvi'i. Why not? Right? Why can you, or why are they not included in Tosefet Shvi'i? Right? That's the million-dollar question, which is why? All those. Meaning, why, if there's an idea called Tosefet Shvi'i, whatever it is, right, however long it is, Pesach, Shavuot, this 30 days, right, all the different Tosefot, why is it limited to Harisha? Nitziah is 30 days or 33 days or 30 or 44 days or whatever, right? And then all of these are Mamash at Rosh Hashanah, right? You can, right, you can fertilize and get rid of bugs and remove warts and whatever, right? How does that make any sense? No. Anything which is to keep your tree alive, you can do or even during Shemitah. Many of these melachot, you can't do during Shemitah, but you can during Tosefet. Fine. Some of them make sense. But at least a decent number of them are forbidden during Shemitah. Right, even within the Ukme Ilana, Ivruye Ilana distinction, which we will deal with this year for sure, that's a very important distinction, right, where the prohibitions during Shemitah are only Ukme, sorry, only Avruye, which is to make the tree better rather than Ukme, which is to keep it alive, right? But many of these are defined, at least during Shemitah, as Avruye, right, that they're forbidden, right, because they make it better, and yet they're not forbidden during Tosefet Shvi'i. Why not? How does that make any sense? So Josh says, if it's about preparing for Shemitah, so then this makes sense, right? If it's about preparing for Shemitah, it makes sense. Why does it make sense? Because look, the nature of the prohibition of the Tosefet Shvi'i is preparing for Shemitah. So anything that is clearly like Harisha, which is getting the ground ready to do more planting during Shemitah, that's prohibited. But whatever, fertilizing. So maybe that's for year six. Not a big deal. And Josh just said you could solve all the problems by saying, apparently, I mean, we might have to go through each one in detail, but bigadol, right, generally speaking, we could solve the problem by saying, listen, you're not allowed to prepare for Shemitah. That's the nature of Tosefet Shvi'i. And Harisha is preparation, and all of these apparently are not. Right, and therefore, why are they usher during Shemitah? Because they're for the good of the tree. Why are they not usher in the additional parts? Because they're good for the tree, but they're not for preparing it for later. Right? But, Josh says it makes less sense if what? So Tosefet Shvi'i means that Shvi'i is really 14, 15, 16 months long. Right? Because then, whatever's usher during Shemitah should be usher during. So Tosefet Shvi'i, what's the problem? What Josh says is very neat. I'm going to take your question, Ellie, but in 1 second, Ellie. What's the problem with Josh says?
We don't have anything that says that.
Yes, this is according to all positions.
Yeah.
Right? It's very nice to say this. This works according to one side of the Hakira, except it's not argued upon. Right? Very good. Yes, Ellie.
So the reason that this maintenance source
it's more than maintenance, right? If it was maintenance, it would be permitted during Shemitah, but it's not, at least some of them.
If you look at it from the school side, the reason you are permitted to do this kind of work during Shemitah is that it isn't for Shemitah.
Right, but which, as Josh says, works. Which Josh says works if you think that the nature of Tosefet Shvi'i is to prepare for Shemitah. But if you think Tosefet Shvi'i means that Shemitah essentially starts earlier, well, that's exactly the question. But no one argues that it's prohibited. Right? That's the problem.
Every Shemitah does. At least it has to be before it starts. And then you can say, if we're assuming someone argument happens, then maybe everybody else agrees with it all in the time.
Okay, right. You could try to quibble and say, oh, okay, even though it doesn't say that, right, the random voices in the Mishnah are right. You could try to work it out and say, oh, everyone agrees to this, and then, right, and start playing a puzzle like that, right? But it is, because us are in Shemitah. Right? So many of these, right? Okay, so this is where Moshe Feinstein comes in with a very important, that's what I wanted to give you, okay? So Ellie asked me why I bolded half of this. Does that mean you only have to do it? No, right? I gave you both. I understand why you would think that, right? But maybe I should have made it clearer. I definitely should have made it clearer. But basically the way I divided this tshuva, what I gave you is as follows. The first half of what I gave you is summarizing a lot of what we've seen until now, right? Where it's just going to, before we move to the Yerushalmi, let's summarize, right? Where he comes up with a new claim, I bolded, right? Now, as I showed Ellie and Mordechai, did you bring Ramosha by chance? You want to bring it just for a second? Just so I can, you know, for illustration, right? But as I showed to you, this is one paragraph, but Ramosha actually goes line by line, basically, through the entire discussion of the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, and writes a very, every so often Ramosha does this, writes these very long lumdis tshuvot, which are very minimally halacha l'maisa, but, you know, and writes very, very, very long. And if you want a very thorough analysis of everything, again, it's not that everyone agrees with it, but it's a very, very lengthy discussion. I encourage you to find the time to read this tshuva for Moshe, but when you see it, you're probably going to say, no thank you. It took my chavrusa and I, when we were doing it, a while to get through it. We did read through it, and it was definitely worth it. But this is the tshuva in Rav Moshe, just on this topic, a nice tiny little print with two columns to a page, right? Yes. And it also goes to Yerushalmi, which I haven't done yet, right? The Uvi Yerushalmi, right? So Ramosha, let's read it, okay? Again, there are two parts to this Ramosha. The first half we'll summarize before we move to Yerushalmi. We'll summarize what we've been learning. So if you lost us for the last few days, right, or you're having trouble collecting your thoughts, Rav Moshe is here to help, right? And then we'll get Rav Moshe's question. He addresses a lot of this. It's a very long tshuva. Chazon Ish also has a nice treatment of this. I didn't give you everything. I'm trying to be nice, right? I'm trying very hard, right? I don't know how well it's going, but I'm trying very hard. But as some of you have known, because you've asked me for my source sheets, right, on various topics, right, I gave a five-parter in the summer on this first halach on the Yerushalmi, right? And I gave Zach one of the sheets, which was 16 pages, and I gave Josh and Kobe another, which was 5 pages, and that's two of five, right? So, and I haven't done that to you yet, so. So Moshe says as follows. Yesh chiluk begeder ha'isur, beinin yalfinu mikroi me'alacha. He thinks that the question that Josh has championed from the beginning, or how do you understand Tosefet Shviit, hangs on whether you learn it from the psukim or you learn it from halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Why? He says, the imme halacha, if you derive Tosefet Shviit from halacha Moshe Mitzinai, heve ha'isur al ha'yamim shenitosef od shloshim yom l'din shnat ha'shviit. Then what is the nature of Tosefet Shviit? That Shemitah itself is more than 12 months long. That the Geder HaIsur, the definition of the prohibition is, Dishloshim Yom Mitzad Hayamim Batman, from the perspective of the days themselves, Kamo Isur Dishana Shviit, they are Shemitah, extended. V'lo Mitzad Shenichnas Acharis L'Shviit, not because the plowing is preparing from year 6 to 7. Aval im mikroy, but if it's from the psukim, and what have I isur machmashe bishvil shviid, then the nature of the isur is that it's preparatory. Why does he think that?
The opposite.
Right? He says if you derive it from psukim, it's not about the kedusha itself. It's about preparation, right? It's because you can't plow and set in motion malacha that's going to happen on Shemitah. Why? Josh, you were the one who made this deal. Why? Because Rabbi Kiva reads the psukim, b'charish v'katsir, tishbot, b'charish, b'ershvi, shenichnas leshvi'i. Because how does Rabbi Kiva read the drasha that it's about shenichnas leshvi'i? The problem is the preparation. Right, that you're doing something in year 6 that will have impact on year 7. And therefore, Reb Moshe argues that if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that is from the psukim, then the psukim are, as he understands the drasha, the problem is harisha hanichnas lashviit. That the problem with the Tosefet Shviit is you can't prepare. But if you hold like Rabbi Ishmael, that it's an arbitrary addition of time, then it's about adding kedusha. Right? Extending the time itself. Right? What Rabbi Kiva is saying is it is not year 7. It is not Shemitah yet. It's that certain things in year 6 are prohibited because they're preparing for year 7. And therefore, if you are plowing to prevent the loss of the trees, and not for the benefit of year 7, kamo be'esher nitziot, like the 10 young saplings, yesh chiluk, de'im mehalacha, if you get it from halacha Moshe Mitzinai, have a little asur b'shloshim yom kamo shasur b'shviit asma. Logically, if Tosefet Shviit is about extending the time of Shemitah, then how much overlap should there be between the Yisurim during Shemitah and the Yisurim during Tosefet Shviit? Again, if Tosefet Shviit means that Shemitah is really 14 months long, 13 months long, 14 months long, they should be identical, right? They should be identical. Exactly. Came to Etzem Yamim Asurim because the days themselves are also. Shemitah is now 13 months long. And therefore, how would Rabbi Yishmael understand it? He would say, Shemitah is 13 months long by halacha Moshe Mitzinai. But there's another halacha Moshe Mitzinai that carves out one exception, which is Esther Nisiyot. Okay? But logically, what Rabbi Yishmael is telling you is, yes, the halacha Moshe Mitzinai extends Shemitah to 13 months, but there's a carved out exception that you're allowed to do this one act during the extra month. which is, there's another halacha mishmizinyan that you're allowed to work for an eser nisiyot, aval im mikrai, but he says if you derive it from the psukim, yadinon memela shemutar ad Rosh Hashanah, so by logic you know that it's mutar until Rosh Hashanah, deino charishat shvi'it, because it's not plowing in Shemitah, da bishvil to'elet hayom u'charesh, and it's not preparatory either because it's for now, right? It's necessary to keep it alive now in year six. So you don't need a special halacha moshmit sinai to permit it. But now he moves on to all the other malacha, which is, wait a second, okay. But it's not just one exception. There's like 25 exceptions, right? So this is a problem. Right? So how are you going to deal with it? So here, let me say it outside first, and then we'll read it. Rav Moshe comes up with a brilliant claim. Okay? As follows. And he says, wait a second. Remember, is it true that Harisha is always usher during Shemitah? Or that working the field is always usher during Shemitah? Is that true? It's not true. How do I know it's not true? Le'ukme versus Le'ivruye. Right? That you're only prohibited during Shemitah to do things for the betterment of the field, not for the maintenance of the field. You're allowed to do work to maintain the field. Right? That's true during Shemitah as well. Right? So then he said, aha. Let's be clear. What does that teach us? So Moshe has this very clever argument. It's not true to say that Harisha is also during Shemitah, or Nitiya is also during Shemitah, or anything is also during Shemitah. Mordechai, what is true? What's true is that it's usher to do malacha. The definition of malacha during Shemitah is very different from Shabbat. On Shabbat, if I ask you, what is the definition of the plowing that is usher on Shabbat, Mordechai? What's the answer? Plowing. It wasn't a trick question. And Shabbat, the answer is plowing. Plowing is usher on Shabbat. That's the malacha. If I asked you on Shemitah, what's the definition of the usher? It's plowing in such a way that it betters the field. Right? That's the definition even during Shemitah. Exactly. So now he comes and he says, you know, here's the problem, is that you're thinking in the wrong terms. You're thinking that plowing is usur, and planting is usur, and fertilizing is usur, and that's not true even on Shemitah. What's usur is working in such a way that betters the field. That's the definition of the malacha. Oh, very good. So now he says, aha, if that's the definition, then why is it that according to Rabbi Akiva, sorry, not according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Ishmael, right, there are exceptions to the rule. According to Rabbi Akiva, I understand. According to Rabbi Akiva, that Tosefet Shvi'it is only about preparing for year 7, so anything that's preparing for year 6 is mutter. But according to Rabbi Ishmael, how could it be that if you add time to Shemitah itself, there might be things that are ushered during Shemitah but permitted during year 6? Isn't it just a 13-month Shemitah? And to that, Rav Moshe says, no. Because the definition of malacha itself is that which it benefits the field during year 7. And therefore, what's usher during the extra month? Not because of preparation, but any malacha that's defined as bettering the field during year 7. But therefore, something that betters the field but only for, let's say, 3 days, right? Meaning it betters it, but it betters it in year 6. Is it going to be mutter during the 30-day extension? Yes. Why? Because, yes, it's Shemitah in advance, but the definition of the malacha is you can't do malacha that betters the field in year 7. But if something only betters the field for a week, and you do it 3 weeks before Shemitah starts, then it's defined as a malacha which betters the field of year 6, which is not usher.
then you're going really cross-cutting at that point, and then kind of not.
Very good. So what Ramosha is telling you is that it's not that it's hachana. It's that for Rabbi Ishmael, the difference between preparation and not preparation isn't really a difference between preparation and not preparation. It's a difference in the act itself, exactly. It's a difference in whether you define this as that which betters the field in year 6 or year 7. Because even during Shemitah itself, a malacha that's defined not as betterment, but as maintenance, is permitted. And therefore, he's saying, you're right, it narrows the gap between Hachana and Tosefet Kedusha, 100%. But Rav Moshe says, but it comes at it from a different angle. It's not because he just distinguishes between preparation and non-preparation. It's because the malacha that would be usher in Shemitah itself is that which is defined as l'avruye b'shnah shvi'id. But therefore, anything that's maintenance of in during year 7 or is done during year 6 but only improves on year 6, even though it's Shemitah, a 13-month Shemitah, it narrowly gets out of the definition of the type of malacha that's usher during Shemitah on a technicality.
You can't call it extended time Shemitah and not the seventh year.
No.
You're extending the seventh year.
According to your motion, essentially, we'd have to say you're extending Shemitah, but not Shana HaShvi'i. Right? Meaning you are extending Shemitah, but it's still not your seventh. Right? It is a fancy way. But let's read it inside, okay? Let's see it inside first, and then take a question, okay? Let me just read it, right? But that's more or less what Moshe says, okay? He says, "Vadayim we did those man." He says, "According to Ishmael, it is about adding time. When we call makom tzarach dafka lezesh avodah toil rak shviit, which means, but still the definition of malacha is that which helps your seventh. Mishum." Even during year 7 itself, the only things that are usher are the things that help year 7. He says, I'll give you another example. Are you allowed to dig a hole to fill it with water during Shemitah? Yes. Because you're plowing during Shemitah for a need during Shemitah. But that's not the definition of malacha. The malacha is don't plow in such a way that it helps agriculturally the field during Shemitah.
You put water on the ground.
Nope, that's not true. If you put water on the ground with no intention, there is no psikresha in Shemitah. If you are watering your hands during Shemitah on the ground with no intention, right, it's not like Shabbat where that's usher. In Shemitah, that would not be usher.
Wait, why have your water bottle on the side of the
depends why you're doing it. Right?
Your water bottle, not jumping up to grow.
Well, it depends. If you're doing it dafka nasago, it is fine during Shemitah.
Why is there a lot of now, like, doing all this stuff like
on the ground?
Yeah,
why is it
still so again, we haven't done all the parameters this year. We're only in October, right? There's a lot to go here. But this is the principle Ramosha wants you to remember, right? You're right. Is it going to work with everything? We'll have to see, right? But this is his overall claim, and he says, in Cain, watch this. This is like a very, right, you want to talk about someone who's conceptually jumping through hoops, and watch this one. Therefore it turns out, if somehow you could construct a possibility in which you work during year 7, which only retroactively helps year 6, don't ask me how he got that time machine, right? But Ramosha says, were I to be able to come up with some sort of time travel scenario in which I would work during year 7, but it would have no impact on year 7, but would retroactively help year 6.
This is London.
Yes, it is. Right? Hayal mutar. It would be permitted.
Why doesn't he just say that you can do something on your 7 that affects your 8?
I don't know.
Why would you go back in
that? I don't know. Go ask Rav Chaim Ozer. Maybe Rav Chaim Ozer was in Shir when Ramosha came up with this Kiddush, okay? He's a Talmud Ramosha Feinstein. I am not. Okay? I was born after he died. Okay? Rav Chaim Ozer was a Talmud of Ramosha. Ask him. Maybe he knows. I don't know. Okay? I don't know. Right? But this is like, yes, this is Lumdus, and it's like, let's say I had a time machine, right, where I could work during year 7, and its impact would only be on time that has already passed. Ramosha says, aha, it would be much harder. Okay, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's what he says. Those are the words he says, okay? I'm not trying to superimpose it. He says that, right? That if it were possible to work during year 7 such that it would only help year 6, that would be fine. What that means, I have no idea, okay? I understand. I am a philosophy major. I get it. I also dealt with, you know, I also had a professor who basically sometimes class sounded like this, whereas, right, I literally had a professor who said, the only reason I don't believe in God because of the ontological argument is because I'm not sure whether there is a multiverse. And if there's a multiverse, then there might be a place in the multiverse in which Gödel's theorem doesn't hold. Sure. There were people who talk like this, and this actually bothers them. Does this usually bother me? No. Okay? Don't worry. Ginsburg will deal with the ontological argument at some point. Why? I don't know.
I'm sure he will.
No, I know he does. Last year I shared with him a book that a friend of mine wrote on the ontological argument, on all the problems with all the different ontological arguments, right? Oh, yes, we talked about it on your interview. That's right. I talked to you. I sent you Tyrone Goldsmith's book. Good. Well, when you read it, then you can explain it to everybody else.
So if we have an answer for everybody, we're not done.
Again, I gave you a very short piece, but Ramosha sometimes has these moments which are like phenomenally lumdish, right? Says the melechet shishit v'adayin ha'sheyachet lechashev melechet shvi'it. 6-year work is definitely not 7th-year work. V'avi kimelacha ba'alma shemutar, and therefore it is just work, which is mutar. V'lachain ein shayach la'asor b'zev shvi'it melacha o'moel ez shishit. And therefore, if you have a melacha during year 6, which betters the field, but it betters the field for year 6, we have found our time machine, because you are now doing malacha during Shemitah, which is not helping the 7th year. Aha! So therefore, even according to Rabbi Ishmael, it is mutar. Because if you had a time machine, so you could do it next month also. Right? If you could do work during year 7 that would only help retroactively year 6, it would have been mutter. And he says, I have a halachic time machine. It's called, so 7 Shemit, according to Ishmael, where it is Shemitah, but not Shana Shemit. Aha! I found it! I have found your halachic time machine. V'lachain, I didn't say it. He did. I don't know what you want from my life. V'lachain, rak milacha hamo'elet rak l'shvi'it sh'oseota b'shvil shvi'it. So only malacha that helps year 7, that is done for year 7, shayach lasar gam b'tosefet, you could forbid during the addition, kevan shezen melechet shvi'id haser b'shvi'id velo malacha shetoel l'shishit. Because then if it's, is he narrowing the gap between the preparatory model and the tosefet kedusha model? Of course he is. That's what he's telling you he's doing. Because he's trying to explain within Rabbi Ishmael, how is it that even Rabbi Ishmael agrees that all these malachot are mutter? Doesn't he hold that you just extended the time? And the answer is yes. He thinks it's Shemitah, but not Shvi'it. And therefore, anything which betters the land, but only betters the land during year 6, it's like our time machine case, where you would work during Shemitah itself, but it would help retroactively. I don't know how it would do that, but since that's a theoretical possibility, even though it's not a physical possibility, it works. And yes, he narrowed the gap. Yes. Is this a third model? Yes, of course it's a third model. He's narrowed the gap between the two models. That's what he's trying to do. And then he says, even though, yes, is Tosefet an addition of time for Rabbi Ishmael? Yes. Even though it makes that time usher, according to Rabbi Ishmael, that it's halakha moshmi Sinai, meaning it transformed the time itself. In gain of Sharlomar Shahidush Hayash Sarih Losiv Oyamim Shukdoshim Kishviid, what you're saying is you add days that are as holy as Shemitah, Vim Ken Ayasur Gamma Vadashmal Yamim Ayam Kamosha Asur Vishvid Malak and Sarashvi Hit Agam Sosevikamashvid Mahashvahanishrahalakhadeshmitiot. He said that explains Nitiot. Because Nitiot breaks all the rules. Why? Because the Esther Nitiot are good for next year, right? But they're also necessary to keep it alive now. And therefore, according to Rishmo, you know, like Moshe, you need to carve out an exception, but all the stuff in the second parak, right? No, it works because of this model that Ramosha came up with. Okay, is anyone's head hurting? Because the first time I read this Ramosha, I'm like, wow, that's brilliant, but oh my God, right? That is like,
why does any of the Mishnah argue?
So like I said, Josh, we can decide that when we're finished with this first halakha on the Yerushalmi, which is going to take us probably another few days, right? We can then try to flesh out the issue of the Tosefet Shviit by basically reading through the first few halachot of Perek Bet. Right, in the Yerushalmi, we can do that. I'm happy to do that. Right, we can also decide to read basically through the first two prakim and pretty quickly. I wouldn't like kill you with every line of the Yerushalmi and you know every single sheet up, but we could get a better picture and flesh it out. You're right, Josh. We need to flesh it out. 100% we need to flesh it out. We're not going to do that right now, but we'll leave it as Akasha. But fundamentally, this is Ramosha's model to explain the next.
I guess in the early Shimon has a separate model than everybody else.
I think you should assume for now that we're going to bracket the question and we can either decide to do it as a share. Again, I'm not committing you. If you guys want to do it, we'll do it. Okay? What? So according to Ramosha, basically what you get is that he's qualifying it. He's saying, listen, there's the pure preparatory model, which he ascribes to Rabbi Akiva. Then there's a theoretical adding time model and a Kedusha model, which is what he thinks Rabbi Shmuel is. But he runs into a problem, which is according to Rabbi Shmuel, you add time and yet not everything is usher that's usher during Shemitah. Right? For whatever reason. And therefore, Moshe says, you know what? The two models aren't as far apart as you think they are. Because even according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's true that it's not about preparation. But in a sense, it is. But not because it's preparation, but because even during Shemitah itself, the only thing that's usher is that which betters the field during Shemitah. And therefore, as he said, if I could do work during Shemitah that would magically only help retroactively year six, right? That would be mutter during Shemitah itself, right? And therefore, he says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, yes, is a month before Shemitah already kadosh v'kedushat shviit? Yes, and nevertheless, it's mutter to do certain work that betters the field during year six because the very definition of malacha is that which helps year seven. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Moshe, essentially, the month before Shemitah is kadosh v'kedushat Shemitah, but it's not the seventh year.
No.
Working during year seven that only helps year six is theoretical. But working during year six that only helps year six, but it does better the field, right?
Yeah.
It's not theoretical. And therefore, Moshe is even according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's Mozart, not because he thinks that the definition of Tosefet Shviit is preparing, but because he thinks the definition of Tosefet Shviit is Shemitah is extended, and therefore any malacha that would be also during Shviit is also during Shishi. But the definition of malacha, even in Shviit, is that which prepares, which betters the land during the seventh year. But certain short-term malachot, even though they better the field during year six and should be usher, are mutter because they only better it for year six. And the definition of malacha that's usher on Shemitah is seventh. And that's why, and again, Ramosha has other cases that explains, right? He says that's why, unlike on Shabbat, right? Where Mordechai on Shabbat, are you allowed to dig a hole in the ground for any reason? No. During Shemitah, why is it the same act is usher if you do it for agriculture and mutter if you do it to hide your treasure chest? Because on your spare time, you are a pirate, right? You're plowing, right? So on Shabbat, the answer is it's still usher because plowing is usher, digging is usher. But during Shemitah, plowing is an usher, plowing or digging is usher for the betterment of seventh year agriculture. And therefore, if I plow because I'm a pirate, right, so it's fine. You're plowing. But the definition of malacha is different between Shabbat and Shemitah, and that's his point. And this is something we've got to keep in mind for the whole year, is that as much as we're going to compare Shabbat and Shemitah, they're very different. Right? On Shabbat, the acts are usher. Once the acts are usher, they're usher. Exactly. And even though Harisha is usher, right? Choresh is a malacha on Shabbat and Choresh is a malacha during Shemitah. They're not the same. Right? On Shabbat, it's usher to drag a heavy bench. If it's a psik resha, then it'll dig a hole. Right? On Shemitah, it is not. Right? I isn't a psik resha. Yeah, but that's not the point. right? On Shabbat, the Isser is Harisha. In Shemitah, the Isser is Harisha L'Shem, agricultural purposes during year seven. And therefore, the same act, right, even though it's called, right, Zoreya is Mutter, Zoreya is Asur, but, right, again, or, look, let me give you a very good example, right? Certain things might be Asur in Shabbat, inside or outside the house, right? In Shemitah, they might not be, because you're not doing it in the Sadeh, right? So certain things might be Mutter inside and outside, it's Nakuv, right? Right, like plowing, right? Like in Shabbat, you're not allowed to plant a new plant in a hydroponic, right? You know, in a hydroponic greenhouse, right? But in Shemitah, you might be, right? Right? Many poskim assume, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, at least his manazeh, you're allowed to plant in a hydroponics, right, greenhouse. That's clearly planting, right? Yeah, but during Shemitah, it might be that it has to be in the field. And this is not the field. It's a hydroponics greenhouse. No, picking fruit you're allowed to do, obviously, to eat it. We're in the seventh year, man. You can pick during the seventh year. What are you talking about? You're allowed to eat fruit, right? You're allowed to pick fruit, right? Think about that, right? Right? Remember, are you allowed to pick fruit during Shemitah? Yes, to eat that. Right now?
During his timeout or the
No, the Hefker presumably doesn't apply yet.
Even if you're saying that it's an extension of
the presumably, because the fruit is still shishi. Remember,
for
right?
Vegetables.
Well, think about it. Fruit.
Vegetables.
No, I don't think so.
Vegetables start immediately, though.
I know, they have Lakita, but it's, no, still not. Because they're still... You're right. That's another point, right? Is that, right? It's not, right? What Ramoshi is pointing out is that when you read the sugya carefully, you can't really say it's a pure Tosefet Zman. Or you need to qualify it, right? Right. It's extended, right? But it can't be extended in everything. It doesn't define the fruit as shishit yet, right? They're shishit. Ramoshi, like I said, you want to go through everything we can, right? But it'll take weeks. I mean, it's a huge tshuva, right? I wanted to give you the essence of his argument. Okay. And then he says, V'lachein, kevan she'israel azman, yafin and shapir, gam tosefet shabbat v'yomtev. And therefore he says, since at some level, it's a tosefet zman with a very fancy qualification of what counts, that's why there is some sort of comparison to Shabbat and Yom Tov. שצריך לעשות גם מעט בכל חשיבות יום, כמו בשביל 30 יום, שחשיב בשנה, בשבת, יום טוב, גם מלאכה שאינו מועיל לשבת, משום דו שבת, יום טוב, עשר כל מלאכה, ולצור את חול, לכן גם בזו נצר. Fine. I wanted to give you just one more example of this very quickly. If you look, Rabbi Akiva Eger, right, asks the following. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, Kashalan, Rabbi Akiva de lo darish kain, ויולד משביעית, right? Rabbi Akiva Eger asks on Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have a pasuk to teach you, right, that you can add malacha, initial malacha before Shabbat and Yom Tov from Shemitah, right? But how does he know that you can't, that you have to extend the fast? Right, because he doesn't hold to the other drasha, right? Of Me'erabat Eres. So what does Rabbi Akiva Eger clearly hold? Right? How is he conceptualizing Tosefet Shvi'i? In Isra preparation or Tosefet Zman? Preparation. Right? Because therefore he says, it's an Isra preparation, and therefore, so we learn that you can forbid the Malachot in advance, but on Yom Kippur, where you have malacha and you have inuyim, right, fasting, right, you should only be able to learn malacha, which is potentially preparatory from Tosefet, but not, right, the inuyim, which are about Zman. And what is Fad Emet's answer? No, Tosefet is about Zman, and therefore, during the Tosefet of Yom Kippur. And therefore, once you forbid something from Tosefet, everything comes with it. Right, he says, Yishlomer, the Pshita the Gemara, the Mada was even Aviv Chag Tushayom. Umimela, Mitzar, Gamba Achila. He said, don't, you can't do it piecemeal. Once you've derived that something's in Tosefet, so you've extended Yom Kippur. And if you've extended Yom Kippur, you've extended it for the purpose of Malacha and... Very good. And you see that Rabbi Akiva Eger and Svadam are arguing exactly along these lines, right? Rabbi Akiva Eger says you can imagine Tosefet as being piecemeal because it's about adding, about preparation. And the Svadam says you can't imagine a piecemeal because it's about extending Kedusha, right? Okay, fine. Whew. Okay, I thought that would take a little bit shorter, but it didn't. So let's just, I know it's already 10 to 12, but let me kick you off in the Yerushalmi and we'll really focus on the Yerushalmi next week. Okay? I'm going to get you one line into the Yerushalmi. Right? Good, everyone. Kobe, wait. What? Okay, but you actually know this, so just share, it's fine. Right? You know this, but I gave you my source sheet on it, but I'm going to... Right, this is what I want. Next week, guys, I want you to read the Yerushalmi. We're going Yerushalmi. I'll stay there. Right? In order. Right? We're going... I want you to do the whole first halacha. What? Well, there is. Here. But I, you know what? Who has the art school in front of them? Oh, art school Yerushalmi. Good. So I'm going to do a little experiment with you to show you what I want you to do, what as your, how careful I want you to be when you do next week, okay? I'm going to read you, okay, I need, okay, Shlomo, you're volunteering. I'm going to read you from Yerushalmi. You read in the art school, not in Yerushalmi, and you correct me if something I read is different, okay? Ready? The same so far? Good. Ktiv. Sheshit yamim ta'aseh ma'asecha. Uvayom ha'shvi'i tishvot. Uktiv v'charish v'katir tishvot. Same or different? Different. Oh, why is it different? Ah, very good. Because if you look at Yerushalmi, in the standard Girsa, it quotes one pasuk. And if you look at the corrected Girsa in the R scroll, it's a different pasuk, right? The pasuk that the R scroll corrected to following the Rosh Terilio and the Mara Fuldan, whatever, which pasuk is it? Not coincidentally. It's the same pasuk as Rabbi Kiva in the Bavli. What about the pasuk that's in the non-corrected Girsa of the Yerushalmi? Is a different one which talks about Shabbat. Very good. Right? Now, here's what's going to happen next week, okay? The Yerushalmi is going to deal with Tosefet Shviit. And it is not going to quote Rabbi Akiva, and it is not going to quote Rabbi Ishmael. It's going to quote things throughout that sound like, sometimes sound like Rabbi Akiva, and sometimes sound like Rabbi Ishmael. What most of the Farshim are going to do is find a way of reading the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli. And why are they, and most of them who read the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli are going to assume that the Yerushalmi is going according to which Shita? Rabbi Akiva. Why are they going to do that? Because they've corrected the Girsa to have the same pasuk as Rabbi Akiva. But I want you to realize that that was a choice, because not only does the Yerushalmi never say Rabbi Akiva, but what? The Girsa that we have in the Yerushalmi is not even the same pasuk as Rabbi Akiva, so there's no reason to believe it's Rabbi Akiva. It could be Rabbi Akiva, it could be Rabbi Ishmael, or guess what else it could be? Somebody else, or some other tradition, right, that doesn't believe in such a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Ishmael. But one of the things you are going to immediately see is that you cannot read the Yerushalmi unless you have a position on whether you should be reading the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli. Right? If you think you are, you're going to read the, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. If you don't, you're going to be in less trouble. Not no trouble, but less.
Isn't the first
thing very good. So it could be Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe this is Rabbi Yochanan. Maybe it's a third position. Yecholiyot. Right? And do you guys have the story sheets I gave you?
Yeah, there is.
No, you have it on you, just so I can... Okay, so if you guys want, I'll do what I did for Josh and Kobe, which is print out my source sheet I made over the summer, right, which just copies the Yerushalmi and has a bunch of arrows, right, pointing out all the Girsa changes and lists all the psukim that are actually in play, because throughout the first halacha of Yerushalmi, you will see that the girsa changes so many times, right? That there are like 8 or 9 sukkim in play or something like that, which can completely change the meaning of what the Yerushalmi is saying based on which pasuk you think is actually being quoted. Which is only a taste of how complicated it can be reading Yerushalmi. What? I wish. The real answer is that, unlike in the Bavli, where Mepharshim show restraint in rewriting Gemaras, the Mepharshim and the Yerushalmi have no restraint whatsoever. If they feel like changing the Gersa because it makes more sense, they just do it. They're not basing themselves on manuscripts usually, maybe sometimes, but usually they're saying, no, and erasing things, or adding things, or doing whatever they're doing, and playing fast and loose with the Gersa. So, welcome to the fun of the Yerushalmi. Yay! It is one of the edit challenges, okay? Next week is Yerushalmi, and in addition to trying to figure out whether you believe that Yerushalmi is Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, a hybrid position, a new position, right? And paying attention to the Girsa, which is going to affect it, I also want you to, like I said, keep your eye out for the meta questions, which is, do you think you have to understand the Yerushalmi in light of the Bavli? Things like that. Right? That type of question. And eventually, what do you think an asmachta is? Whether, amazingly, we're going to get to a point in the Yerushalmi where you're going to have to ask yourself the question, is there something between Daraita and not Daraita? Is there something that's in between? The answer is maybe, right? But you're going to have to ask yourself that question at some point in the Yerushalmi, including a line where it says asmachinhu, which according to some will mean asmachta derabanan, and according to some will mean asmachta deraisa, and according to you get a third position will mean asmachta, which is neither deraisa nor derabanan. The Yerushalmi is going to be fun. It's really going to be fun. The first halacha of Yerushalmi is a lot of fun, and that is my cue. So, guys, enjoy the Shabbaton. I'll be here all day, but enjoy the Shabbaton, but get rested up to be ready to tackle the Yerushalmi. Because it may, in the art scroll, it's 3 pages. In the non-art scroll, it is less than 1 page. But it's going to feel like, as long as it took us to get to the Bavli, Shalmi is going to take us.
Even
I don't know if it'll take longer, but it is going to challenge you intellectually and stretch your imagination even more. Yay!